Welcome to the Love, Sex, and Leadership Podcast, where you can discover simple tantric teachings to embody your true power, awaken your soul's wisdom, and live an inspired life as a natural, intuitive, and heart-centered leader. You are sitting here from that moment in time when egg and sperm met to create life. The same way as you can hear the river of life just down the way from us, the trees growing, the vines expanding, your body, cells are being born and cells are dying each and every day. Sperm inside of you is being created. Many times sperm is being released. And this sacred elixir that comes from these testicles that you hold, the first question to look at is, what is your relationship with this sacred elixir? What did your dad or your community teach you about this sacred elixir? The same way a group of women come together in a red tent to talk about the mysteries of their blood, of where we've all originated from in the womb, what are the mysteries and the stories and the issues that have arisen around these testicles that you hold and the clock connected to them? What shame is present? What celebration is present? And what is your relationship with these genitals that you hold? Just breathing into that for a moment. Sounding out. And as you're ready, gently opening the eyes. And take a look around and see that every man is also holding his own cock and balls as his own journey. I'm sure times when he's been like, yes, so happy to be a man. Other times it's like, fuck, shit. There's a lot of stories around that, and we'll unpack some of that this morning. So deep breath in. And probably for some of you, even being in a circle of men and holding your testicles and balls, you're like, fuck, this is uncomfortable. Or maybe you're like, oh, this is actually quite natural. Because all it means is that you're in a circle of men holding your testicle and balls. That's all it means. Can have a lot of other meanings according to your own stories and ideas and beliefs and all the things around it. But sexuality, our natural ergonomics of our body, is that we've come into this world with a male body. With a male body that when it gets aroused, this Vajra, Lingam, Kak, grows. And how many of you have ever felt shame when you've had an erection and you felt like, oh, I shouldn't have an erection right now? Anyone? Yeah. I remember for myself, you know, growing up in, I grew up outside of Boston, and the woman who sat in front of me often in school was always the same woman every time, just my last name was before her last name and was after her last name. So I always sat behind her and she always wore these sexy fucking G-strings. And I was like, Jesus. Like, I found myself so often as a young boy with an erection in the back of the classroom, like, what the fuck do I do with this thing? And, you know, through time and my own journey and story and finding a deeper relationship with this, there wasn't anyone, it wasn't my brother, it wasn't my father, that had any level of education that came with what to do with an erection. How do we handle that? What do we do when we ejaculate? Huh? What does that even mean? All of these things that, because of the society that pretty much we all grow up in, that even though we've originated from sperm and egg meeting, there are a lot of society says, ooh, we don't talk about that. And where do our education come around sexuality? Really, from a couple of streams that I see. One, religion. What does religion tell us? Like, don't ever have sex, and if you do, you're probably going to be damned unless you're making a baby and then never think about it again. Because sex is sin, because it's a bad thing. And what the fuck? That definitely wasn't what Jesus talked about. But somehow that's been correlated into a lot of religions. And then looking at other religions, it's like, we can't even look at a female body because then we might get erect. And we definitely can't have our male partners see another female body. So we're going to completely cover her up in black so that the world cannot see her. So the thought of even sexuality can't even emerge. And if it does, you're going to be blamed and shamed. And then if she were to actually have sexuality, then she probably should be stoned to death because she's unwed. I mean, what the fuck? Really? So just breathe into that for a moment.
Wow.
Healthy sexuality, healthy relationship with our erotic body is something naturally that happens for us at a young age. There's studies that have been shown that when a baby is inside the womb, they play with themselves. Not from a sexual nature, maybe, but just from a curious nature. And then we grow up and then we're playing with ourselves and some parental figure says, stop, that's wrong. You're not allowed to touch yourself. Well, child's like, but this is the thing. I want to play. I want to get to know it. The parent's like, no, you can't do that. That's not acceptable. That's bad. And so shame, shame, shame gets poured onto this child. And then finally, that child, a male child, has his first erection and is like, what do I do? What do I do with this thing? It's not like the village has taught him. I mean, in some sacred old traditional tribes, there are beautiful rituals and practices. I don't think any one of us went through it. I know I didn't. It still exists in small tribes around the world. But in general, the other form of education, where does that come from? Porn. And what does porn show us? Anything healthy? I mean, maybe, and like for my, I'm just turning 41 and it's really interesting. I was just having a conversation with a guy who's 35 and that big difference between like, for me, I had AOL Messenger when I was just finding the internet and there wasn't like fast streaming, high speed porn that I could click through page by page by page by page. And for him at 35, just 5-6 years later, that's what he grew up with. That's a massive difference in the way in which the brain developed to sexuality. A great book I'd recommend for all of you is Your Brain on Porn. It talks about how the brain develops as a result of pornography. So if you're a young 15, 16-year-old kid and you found porn, a lot of kids are more addicted to porn, and even if they have a sexy, beautiful woman that they make love with, their brain, because they've been so addicted to porn, they actually want pornography and masturbation more than they want this beautiful, amazing body to make love with. That's what's happening in our day and age right now. It fucking scares. We're moving into a territory with AI and computer generated. We have an entire world that when we put on goggles, we're disconnected from human to human touch, but we're connected to online visuals and stimulation that's well beyond what our body actually, I feel like, was made for. So we're stimulated beyond what we are capable of being in many ways. And then when we do get to being with another body, of course we touch her too quickly. Of course we go right to her genitals. Of course we do that because that's what we've learned in pornography for 10, 20, 15 years. So the very thought of so many female bodies being pushed away by sexuality is simply because they've never been touched with reverence and devotion and non-agenda. I want to show a few specific things that you can do between, you could say, porn-addicted matrix lovemaking and what I'll say tantric lovemaking. One, takeaway agenda. Taking away agenda means that there isn't a rush to the destination. And what that means for you in a male body is differentiating between orgasm and ejaculation. They are not one and the same. Ejaculation is a byproduct that happens through orgasmic energy moving through the body. But your capacity to differentiate these two allows you to become a multi-orgasmic man, allows you to become having multiple orgasms in lovemaking. How many of you have ever had any type of, you could say, semen retention practice or ejaculatory choice? Great. So celebrating that, I love that you guys have explored that. And I'm not one of these tantra teachers that's gonna say, thou shall never ejaculate,
because I think that's fucking madness.
And there are tantra teachers in this field that will say that. And it becomes this thing where ejaculation becomes shamed. Oh my God, I ejaculated. Now I need to feel bad about myself.
No.
If ejaculation happens, amazing. But if the chemical reactions in your body are addicted to ejaculation, that's where it can become problematic. And if you spent your entire life watching pornography, then the way in which the chemicals that get released from your body happen at ejaculation, there will be an addiction for that. So there'll be a feeling of, I haven't completed because I haven't ejaculated. No, there isn't a completion. And by beginning to learn how to move energy through your body and know how to circulate energy, then you can become more orgasmic. Some of the practices that Alex was introducing this morning, which were brilliant and beautiful, a Sufi grind, a microcosmic orbit, a simple breathing of the energy through your body. This is how energy begins to circulate through you. So take your hands right now and just run your fingers through your skin. Imagine that every single one of your fingers was like a line or a cord of energy running through your body. There's actually thousands of them. These are called nadis. If you look at the structure, the bioelectric magnetic structure of our body, we have this Sushumna nadi, which I showed you yesterday, our central channel. We have Ida, which is more the left side, and we have Pingala, which is the right side. Also, society shows this. Have you seen the back of an ambulance? The back of an ambulance is a singular column of energy and two serpents running up and down. There's a great book called the Magdalene Manuscript that you could read, and it talks about Jesus's conversations with Mary Magdalene, giving initiations on how to move this serpent-like energy from your base to your crown, how to wake up the multi-orgasmic potential of your body. And so the reason why this is important about being more multi-orgasmic is, do you have the capacity to feel? So I get a lot of messages in my inbox, and guys say, I want to be multi-orgasmic and I want to learn semen retention. 99% of the time, the thing that they need to do more of is have a healthy emotional body. Are you feeling when you're sad? Are you expressing when you're angry? Because if you are not, then basically you're numb and you're asleep behind the wheel. Therefore, when your orgasmic energy is rising from a 7 to an 8 to a 9, and you've learned all these semen retention breath practices, if you don't have a practice of feeling your emotional body, then you haven't trained your system on how to be more connected to alive life force energy. This alive life force energy is your birthright. So when your body is going on the 7 to 8 to 9 scale, and it's almost at that place of ejaculation, of course it's gonna ejaculate and have a 2 or 3 second sneeze and say, because it wants to go back to sleep. You haven't trained it on how to feel yet. So it's like overload, 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 too much, too much, too much. Please, abort, abort, abort. Yep, boom.
Oh. Let me go back to sleep now.
That's easier. So what you're doing to feel more in your body, to touch your body, as I was talking about last night, about having sensory awareness, training your receptivity to touch the body, to be aware of your senses, of your smell, of your feeling, of your taste, of all of these senses, expanding the frequency, the wavelength of energy that you're able to hold. Therefore, when you do get to that 8 or 9 scale and you take one of these breath practices and you go, you can do a breath hold, holding it at the top and then releasing, visualizing the energy going through every limb of your body.
Oh.
And you can shake and you can undulate and you can move. This is where you differentiate ejaculation from orgasm. So that now when I'm having lovemaking, I can have multiple orgasms along the way. And ejaculation sometimes happens, sometimes it doesn't. For me, I'm a 41-year-old male. I find if I'm ejaculating more than once a month, I notice my energy isn't quite as amplified as I want it to. And I like to make love. And I know that if I'm making love in the evening and I ejaculate, I'm going to wake up in the morning probably without the desire to ejaculate. And when I wake up next to this beautiful goddess, I want to make love again. That's what I enjoy, because what is making love? It's not just fucking and having sex. It's being connected to breath, sound, and movement, which ultimately is connecting me to this deep mysticism of the universe that Arya has been speaking into through the sutras. So can I connect to the infinite universal potential of life moving through every cell of my body? Can I connect to the alive orgasmic sensations when I simply slow down to touch my body without agenda? Can I connect to this dance between Shiva and Shakti that's moving through me? And can I breathe through it? And can I breathe through it that allows me to actually open up divinity inside lovemaking? In order to do that, I have to know how to feel. I have to know how to breathe. I have to know how to sound. And when I'm doing all of that, as it associates to the art of loving women, when you're sounding, she says, ah, yes, he's making sound. When you're breathing, you're informing her of what you enjoy by your breath. And when you're moving, you're circulating this energy, which allows you to go longer than being a 2-pump chump to being a 2-hour hero. Oh, who wants more of that? Less 2-pump chump, more 2-hour heroes? Yay! The world, actually, in my perspective, in my tantric perspective, is going to be a more symbiotic place where a man can be on purpose, connected to his heart, and isn't disconnected at his call. But if we're porn addicted, religious shamed, then we ejaculate quickly. And what does that do? It takes us connected only to our mind. Our mind that's only connected to logic, reason, understanding, and disconnected from our heart, our emotions, and our sexuality. And whichever fucked up, you know, theory, idea you want to buy into, but that's a lot of what exists in the world, especially for male bodies. When a man expresses his feelings, they're usually cognitive interpretations of what he thinks is happening in his body, being illuminated by the understanding of his mind. That's unfortunately the way in which most men connect to the feeling sensation inside of them, because that feeling sensation at a young age was said, you're not allowed to feel, you're not allowed to express. Big boys don't cry. We don't express our anger. Boom, boom, suppression, 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 suppression. And then we wonder why we can't last for more than 5 to 10 minutes. Average lovemaking, isn't because the woman isn't turned on enough. It's because the man is ejaculated in 3 to 5 minutes.
What?
Shit. Sorry. Like, that sucks. Because for most female bodies, it takes 15 to 20 minutes for the blood to start to circulate from her body into the lips of her yoni. And that might not even happen at 20 minutes. Because if I compare a female body to a male body, female body, if I put some fire underneath it, if I start to boil that kettle, that kettle's gonna be a slow burn. It's gonna be one of those stoves in Bali that don't work very well. And you're like, damn, this takes a while. And what does that require? Patience. It requires patience to say, I'm gonna gently touch every limb of your body, gently and slowly, so that I can start to warm you up from the outside in. If I have that same kettle for a male body, it's gonna be one of those super fast, high speed, I don't even know what they're called, but immediately in about 1 to 2 minutes, that water is boiling. And it's like, boom, in 1 to 2 minutes might be on the long side. Because as men, we're initially, our ergonomics, our erection often comes first, yeah? And there's like, boom, okay, I'm ready. And the woman's like, oh, huh, shoo, oh. Take a breath here. Please do not enter that cock so quickly inside of me. And for a lot of men, because that's what they associate to how turn on happens, they're like monkey see, monkey do. My body turns on that way, so I turn on my cock first, let me touch yoni first, let me get wetness, wetness, wetness. And the woman, because of that, has been trained to try to have her sexuality be met in a masculine way. And then if she's not turned on that way because she's been watching too much porn as well, she's like, oh, I think that's what I need to do. Let's grab the oil. Let's grab the lubricant. And that way I can satisfy him. He can ejaculate quickly and then we can go back to sleep together. I've seen people, a speaker on an international worldwide stage for one of the largest self-development companies in the world, a woman coming up on stage and saying, yeah, this is all that man do. Just let him fuck you for a minute or two. He'll be done. And then he'll go back to sleep. What the fuck? Like, what the actual fuck? Even people that are teaching about consciousness don't know a fuck all about sexuality. Because there's such a misunderstanding in so many female bodies that have never been touched with devotion, love, and care. Let's take a deep breath in. Sound on the exhale. I know there's a lot here. There's a lot that I'm circulating through. There's a lot of pieces inside of this. And in a moment, you'll have a chance to share with a brother next to you about where there's a meeting your individual journey around sexuality, around religion, around porn. Because the thing I've learned more than anything is that when we can be honest and transparent about the journey that we've taken to be here, and let ourselves be seen in our uncomfortability and our shame and our erectile dysfunction and our issues with our genitals and all of that, and literally the place of giving word and communication and expression to it, some of the energy associated to that shame can begin to fall away and begin to fall away more deeply. And this conversation, of course, we're touching upon it deeply, and I just want to plant the seed, because when men spend days upon days together in a retreat space, when all of these deeper layers can really be seen, the homophobia, the fear, the lack of trust that exists inside of our own body, and as a result is projected onto many men. Because I know for me, some of the biggest hatred I have on this planet is not towards female bodies, it's to the men that have misabused and have mistreated women and haven't actually honored their own sexuality with reverence and appreciation and honoring. And that anger definitely exists in me. And I've beaten the fuck out of those men many times on a pillow. over and over and over again, because the raping, the child molestation, all of the things that happen on this planet, it's a reflection of what's also inside of us, just happening in external form. So when you can own that energy, but you don't let that energy own you, but you actually invite yourself to have a relationship with that dark energy, and you can do it consciously with awareness, and then bring that energy with consciousness into the bedroom, then you become more of a wand of light, having the capacity to destroy anything that's not love, vibrating through your body and the body of the beloved that you're making love with. And this is really the initiation of what tantric healing is, tantric lovemaking is. Another really important tip: one was not agenda. Two, when emotions arise in the bedroom, don't suppress them. If she's crying, let her cry. If you're crying, let the emotions flow. This is the healing gift of tantric lovemaking happening in space and time between the two of you. In my last partner, when we first got together, she had been in a marriage for over 4 years, having some challenges with her partner, probably for the first 6 months of us making love. Almost every time we were making love, she would have tears. She was releasing her old relationship. She was releasing her own frustration, her frustration with him. Sometimes we'd be in doggy style and she'd just be releasing the anger and the frustration. I wasn't trying to fix her. I wasn't saying, oh my God, babe, you're crying now. Let me fix you. Let me give some solution so your tears go away. Oh my God, you're being angry. Did I do something wrong? Fuck no. She was releasing the emotion through her body, and I was supporting her in a celebratory appreciation of that emotion. And what did that do in that lovemaking? It brought us closer, because it allowed both of us to recognize the deep gift of what happens when love is at the center. And many of the first times when we were making love and our bodies were assimilating together, there were a lot of emotions moving, a lot of tears flowing. This is what happens when the bodies recognize, just the same way you recognize coming into the space, that all of you is present here, all of you is allowed here. And when the feminine in both bodies recognize that in lovemaking, and you can be a great space holder for that, that's really where a woman or the feminine can feel like, oh, I'm safe. Yeah. That's all she wants more than anything. She wants to feel like you're not rushing to ejaculation. She wants to feel like you're not touching her body, trying to get her off in some direction. She wants to know that she can say no, and you're gonna say, thank you for taking care of yourself. She wants to know that when you're meeting and greeting her body, you're not rushing to her clit, you're not rushing to her nipples, you're meeting her body as a sacred temple of beautiful devotional energy that she is. And when you meet the feminine in that way, what happens? Does she melt?
She opens.
She opens and she melts and she says, thank you for seeing me. And then together you begin to have a tantric union with divinity, with God, which is really ultimately all what lovemaking is all about. Take a deep breath in. Sound on the exhale. Close down the eyes for a moment. Breathe into the belly. I want you to take all of these pieces that I've been speaking about, celebrating emotions, differentiating ejaculation and orgasm, having a deeper relationship to your own self-love and self-pleasure. Maybe a hand on the heart, a hand on the belly, connecting into this energy. And just for a moment, recognize that this body temple you are touching is a body temple. The same way you'd go to a temple to give your homage and prayer and thanksgiving. Just for a moment, I want you to give prayer and thanksgiving to this body temple. Maybe those are spoken words out loud saying, thank you, body. Thank you, beautiful body, for holding me, for loving me. And if you want, you can also take one of your hands and place it on your lingam, on your kaf, on your vajra, and give thanksgiving to all the pleasure, to all the celebration, to all of the deep healing and love that you've brought into this planet as being a male body. And as you're breathing in this energy, there's any shame that's there, let it go with sound. There's any time that you've been shamed or blamed for having erection too early, breathe it in and let it go with sound. If there's any time when you have touched someone inappropriately or someone has touched you inappropriately too early, breathe it in and let it go with sound. The only way forward is forward. And that means that you can have a new relationship with this body from today on forward, making a difference into the lives of people. Your beloved, from the bedroom to the boardroom across this planet. When you know yourself as a sacred sexual being, connected to your all, connected to your love, to your life force, to your aliveness. Breathe that in.